Good afternoon, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The concept of household simply means belonging to a house. And that concept is what we experience almost all the time, so much so that we take it for granted. We are not that much conscious of the fact that this congregation is made up of many different households. You have your own home, I have my own home, and so therefore, actually, we belong to different households. And so this concept of a household is very apt, because it is a concept that we usually take for granted, unless you are an orphan. An orphan is a person who lives in an orphanage, and he does not belong to any household. Perhaps his parents have passed away, or perhaps his parents do not want him, and so he is left in an orphanage. And so to people like them, who have been orphans all their lives, waiting for some kind soul to adopt them, so that they can experience what we very often take for granted, to belong to a household, because they do not have one. And when they are old enough, they learn a skill, they enter into the workforce, and then now they can have their own apartment, own house. But it is still not considered as a household because it's just an empty apartment. It's just himself. There is no family, but just himself. Belonging to a house is to belong to a family. And if he gets married, he has children, now he begins to understand and experience the concept of a household. This concept is lost to us in the spiritual realm as well. And that is why very often we take for granted and we think that, well, this is normal for people to come and go when it comes to membership of churches. Some will leave, some will stay. New people will come, and old people will go. Why must that be the case? Why can't it be that this is the church, as long as it is faithful, as long as it is Christ-centered? I will never leave this local church. This is where I will remain until the Lord takes me home. Very seldom do we have this conviction, because this concept of the household of God is very clear and very easily seen in heaven. Because in heaven, you're going to see this household of God visibly. And the experience of such a wonderful truth, you don't have to tell anyone, because we are all experiencing the same household of God in heaven. But this is a teaching that is not meant for the time when we arrive in heaven, and then we realize that we are now part of the household of God. So this title, the household of God, is perhaps too general. It needs to be narrowed down and to make it more specific, so that we can have a more focus. The household of God, let me add one word, today, now. The household of God today. That's what God wants us to bear in mind, so that whatever trials and problems we face in church, and there will be, as long as we are in the church, a local church, serving the Lord, witnessing for Christ in this earthen vessel, there will be problems. There will be a lot of problems. We know that. All sorts of problems. But none of these problems are problems that cannot be resolved. Hurts and pains that cannot be reconciled. They all can. It's a matter of whether we desire to reconcile, to forgive, to make right, to mend the broken, hurtful relationships, rather than to just simply turn our back and walk out. Even when it comes to sin, when the leaders discipline you, are you humble enough? Is the household of God on earth right now in Truth BP Church strong enough, convict you enough, that if it requires me to repent of my sin, to confess and admit that what I've done is wrong, and it has been proven and shown to me that it is wrong, that I am prepared to apologize and to bear the consequence of my transgression, so that I will remain in the household of God in Truth BP Church today, right now. The concept cannot be in the future. Cannot be when we arrive home in the presence of God in heaven. God did not reveal this truth to us for us to only look forward to it as if right now we are not part of or in the household of God. We already are. You can tell from the language. You can tell by the words that are used. And because this concept is very often ignored, just like we are too focused on different households. My home, my household, your household. So much so that this common household of God is lost. And that's why we are prepared to say goodbye and leave. And since there are other sound churches in Singapore, why not? Why not? That has to stop. If you are truly called to remain in this church, then you must never allow anyone or anything to drive you out. And you are prepared to do whatever it takes to help this church remain faithful and true to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that if the Lord tarries, when your time on earth is done, as a father, as a mother, as a grandfather, grandmother, you will leave behind for your sons and for your daughters a sound church, if not better, than the one that you joined on the first day when you became a member. Because the household of God is meant for today's consideration, not some future hopeful consideration, right here and now. And that's how the Apostle Paul wants us to realize and understand. Because he said that once upon a time we were outside of this household. And he described us as strangers and foreigners. That's who we are to the world today as Christians. But once upon a time, we were strangers and foreigners to the household of God. We were like orphans. We were like orphans in a huge, gigantic orphanage, and that's the whole world. That's who we were. Can't even see the kingdom of God. Completely oblivious to anything that is holy and spiritual and truthful, because we do not know Christ. And because we do not know Christ or did not know Christ, we were dead in sin and trespasses. Our eyes are completely blind to the spiritual realm. We cannot penetrate into that realm because it is beyond our ability. Because our IQ and our five senses are only good for this earth. And it is useless, completely useless to the world that is invisible to our naked eyes, the spiritual realm. And that's why the Lord says that we are strangers and foreigners. Strangers means completely new to the environment. Do not know what the spiritual realm is like. Foreigners, we have never entered into it and we're never comfortable in it. That's a foreigner. A foreigner is like a permanent stranger. The Bible says you are no more such. No more. You should never be a stranger and a foreigner to things spiritual, to the things of God, to the people of God. In other words, you must stop treating one another like strangers and foreigners, but treat yourself and one another as part of the family. And if that is part of the family, you realize that everything that you relate to with others will change immediately. You learn to be more generous. You learn to give rather than loan. You learn to share rather than to hold on. You'll be more careful with your tongue and your words, because you use to be very careless and it hurts. How do you feel toward your children, parents? How do you feel when you go back home to your household? Do you charge your children rental? Do you make your children pay for their food and lodging? Everything is given. You devoted your entire life in providing for them without question. They are your children. They are your family. Your parents did that for you. And now, when you become parents yourself, you are doing the same thing for your children. Can you not have the same kind of feeling and attitude toward everyone in the church? Because that's exactly what it means, rather than treat each other as strangers and foreigners. That you are a person that I can do without. You don't say that to your children, do you? Regardless of how your son or daughter may behave. You don't have that attitude toward them. You know that they are your flesh and blood, your son, your daughter, and there is absolutely nothing they have to do to earn that. They don't have to be good boy, good girl before you call them my son, my daughter. Before you have this attitude toward them, that your love for them is forever. Regardless of how they might behave. You don't tell them, well, when you behave but good as good boys and good girls, then you are my son, you are my daughter. Then daddy, mommy will love you. If you are naughty, we don't love you, you are not our children. You don't have those conditions. But we sometimes set these conditions with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is the attitude of a stranger and a pilgrim. A sojourner, a foreigner. That's who we are not supposed to be to each other. Don't treat each other as strangers and foreigners, because we are not. Even though we may come from different countries, even though we may come from different educational background or different status in society, it does not matter. It does not matter, because the Bible says you are now fellow citizens, same citizenship, reminding us that it is going to be a big family. Because citizenship is a word to describe a nation. You don't describe your home, your family, as a fellow citizen. That means this household of God is huge. Big enough, numerous enough to form a nation. Fellow citizens. And then you describe our nature. Saints, holy ones. That's who we are. And then, of the household of God. Belonging to God's house. And if you are a Christian, then you are part of this household. And that's right now, today. Look around you. Do you see each other as strangers and foreigners? Then rest assured, there will be all sorts of problems and quarrels. No need to forgive, because he's a stranger. I can do without him. He's a foreigner. He doesn't understand. Just ignore him. You never do that to any of the people in your household. So why do you do that to the household of God, which you say you belong to? That's why the Lord reminds us, you are no longer outside of the household. Once upon we were. That's the past. But not anymore. So why do you behave as if you are still outside of the household of God? You are part of the family of God. Do you not realize that? The person seated next to you is a brother or a sister in Christ. But then some of you might reason, but how do I know the person is not a wolf in sheep's clothing? Because the Bible did tell us that there will be tares that will be found in the church, just as there will be tares in the world. So how do I know the person is not pretending? So he may not be part of the household. He thinks he is, he says he is. But how do I know he's not deceiving me? Even if it is true. Even if it is true. That person is a wolf in sheep's clothing. A pretender. Even if you are right. Should you not all the more show him what Christ's love ought to be? Should you not let him experience the love of God in Christ Jesus, which is unconditional and sacrificial? So that this wolf in sheep's clothing doesn't have to remain as a wolf in sheep's clothing. Perchance that through your holy witness, this person can also be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ did everything. Everything. The same way that he treated all the 11 disciples, he treated Judas Iscariot. And he was truly a wolf in sheep's clothing. And he was beyond salvation, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ did not treat him any different. So much so that when Jesus Christ said to the disciples, all 12 of them, one of you will betray me, not a single one of them knew that it was Judas Iscariot. Each of them thought, is it I? Is it I? Very, very inward self-introspection. Could I be the one? If Jesus Christ had treated Judas differently and did not love him the way that he loved all the rest. Did not allow him to perform the power and the miracles that came with the Lord Jesus Christ when Jesus sent them out 2 by 2. All you had is my name. Don't take any extra purse. Don't take any extra sandals or garments or clothing. Nothing. Just go in my name. And you will experience the full sufficiency of going out in ministry with my name alone. And then they all came back. We never suffered lack. We always have a place to sleep. We always have food to eat. And all we did was to share Christ. Those who opened their homes and accept Christ, they gave us food. They gave us lodging. Those who did not, you taught us to shake the dust of our sandal with it. But we experienced the power and the sufficiency of going out and leaning only upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they were able to cast out all the diseases that the people brought to them. You think Judas did not experience the same power? Of course he did. Imagine if he did not do the same miracles that all the other 11. And he was also partnered with one of the disciples, 2 by 2. Then the other one would know, hey, how come you cannot? All of us could. Something wrong with you? You mean God allowed Judas, who was not a believer, to experience the power that could be wielded in his name? That's correct. He treated him exactly the same, so that when the day of judgment came, Judas cannot say to the Lord, you know why I betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver? He treated me differently. He did not love me the way that he loved the other 11. All of them could do miracles by Jesus' name. I could not. That's why I betrayed him. He was prejudiced. He was not. He loved him just like he loved all the other 11. And therefore, when Judas Iscariot turned his back on the love of Christ and spurned him and sold him for 30 pieces of silver, he had no one to blame but himself. All the more, if you think that brother, that sister in the household of God in this church is pretending, all the more you should show forth his love, God's love, Christ's love. All the more that person needs to see Christ's love and not you to be so pharisaical that, well, he's not born again. That person is not born again. So therefore, I don't have to treat him nicely. All the more you should treat him nicely, because you are part of the same house. God's house. God's house. Fellow citizens. Same. And same in holiness. Saints. Are you such? Or are you still a stranger and a foreigner to the house of God? You and I know that membership in a local church does not equal having our names written in the book of life. It doesn't make us membership of the household of God. We know that. But if it is a sound biblical church and which we believe Truth BP Church is, to the best of our ability, we try to make sure every ministry is managed according to God's word. Which means that if you are truly born again, the membership of this church would also be the same as having your name written in the book of life. Because Jesus said, my sheep hears my voice. And if this pulpit continues to preach the word of God, and that is the voice of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it delights your soul and makes your heart glad, it warms your soul when you hear God's word, it makes you love the Lord more, love the word of God more, then you know you are a sheep. And you are now part of the household of God in Truth BP Church. And therefore, don't treat one another as strangers and foreigners. Because when you hurt one another, and there will be opportunities where you will hurt one another, that's the nature of serving together. And the more you serve together, the chances of hurting one another will multiply, increase. We know that those who stay away, chances for them getting hurt is very, very low. They are hardly around. They come and then they disappear. They don't serve. They don't attend prayer meeting. They don't attend fellowship groups. So for anyone to hurt such an individual is near impossible. Unless maybe the ushers, when they come in, do not smile at them. But other than that, no contact. Why do you want to be part of the household of God and behave in that manner as if you are still a stranger and a foreigner? But you do not delight in the fellowship and the presence of brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow citizens, same brothers and sisters in God's household, and holy in character. that you find so uncomfortable. That's why it is a very strange and scary thing for some professing believers to say that I'm more comfortable with my unbelieving friends outside having high tea than to spend time with some of the people who call themselves Christians in the church studying the Bible. That person is in trouble. That person is in real trouble if the person is sincere in what he just said. That you're more comfortable mixing with children of the devil, doing something that is purely carnal, because the chit-chat that they talk about cannot be spiritual, because the person is not there to share the gospel, but to just simply chit-chat about the things of the world. That's carnality, emphasizing the flesh. And you delight in that, you find more comfort and comfortable in that than in spiritual things, studying the Word of God, hearing the voice of the Savior, and that makes you uncomfortable. Either you are very sick spiritually, or you are not born again, which makes you a stranger and a foreigner to the things of God and to the voice of Christ. And that is why this concept of the house of God today, right now, is something that we must take seriously. Don't treat it as if it is no big deal. Be very conscious that the people around you in Truth BP's church that you work with, serve with, and worship together, they are your eternal family. Because this household of God is not going to be destroyed, nor is it going to be diminished in any way. Because the foundation of this household is found in verse 20. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That's the New Testament and the Old Testament. The Word of God. When will the Word of God be destroyed? Not one jot, not one tittle. The household of God will be destroyed, will dissipate, and all of us will become orphans again if the Word of God is destroyed. And if the Word of God is never going to be destroyed, not one jot, not one tittle will ever be lost. That means the household of God will remain as long as the Word of God remains. Because that's the foundation. We are what is visible on top, and below us is the very Word of God itself. You built your salvation in the promises of God's Word. So did the other person next to you, and the person next to the other person, and so on. All of us have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior according to the same foundation, and that is Holy Scriptures. That's what the Bible says. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. In other words, if you want to summarize the whole Bible in two words, it's Jesus Christ. You know what's a chief cornerstone? This room. Minus the cry room, let's say, okay, this room. Alright, let's say there is no jut, just one flat wall. Four corners. Right? One, two, three, four. Four corners below, four corners on top. So when they want to build a house, most of them will be either squarish or rectangular. Very seldom do you find them build anything curvy, like a round house. Then the first corner that you start is known as the chief corner. Let's say we start on that corner. We begin to build. That is the beginning point, and so I set my cornerstone. And so that will become the chief cornerstone. Because there are so many cornerstones, but this is the chief, the first one that I lay down. And so as I lay my wall in this direction, set my second corner. The position of the second corner will take its reference point from this first corner, whether it's going to be straight. How long, how far, it will measure from here. And then when I finished, I set up my second corner. Then now I build my third corner over there. I'm not going to measure from this corner because it will probably be skewed, not as accurate. So if I want to build my third corner, I will measure it from here as well. And then once I finish, then I will build my fourth corner. Where do you think it will take its reference point from? Second corner or third corner? Chief corner. So all the corners at the bottom, when I lay my beams, it will always be from there, so that the house that I build will be as square or as rectangular as possible, and all the corners are as right angle as possible. And then I build up. And then when I have my upper corner, same thing. All the corners of the building will take its reference point from the chief corner. So in other words, when the Bible describes Jesus Christ borrowing the analogy of a building, a chief cornerstone, in other words, he says that everyone who is born again will take his reference point from Christ. No exception. Every one of us will take our reference point from Christ, because it is through Christ, in Christ, that we are all born again. There is no another Christ. There is no another Savior. All through Christ. And the whole Bible, the prophets, the Old Testament, the apostles, the New Testament, also focus on Christ. The Old Testament will point everyone to Christ to be saved, what he will do in the future. That's the significance of the animal sacrifices. Animal cannot save a person, because an animal is not a person. They know that. We are made in God's image. The animal is not. So how can an animal die for me? And so before Jesus Christ actually came, right before he was incarnated, before his incarnation, took on human form through the Virgin Mary, God temporarily used animal sacrifices that he had predetermined, what he considered as clean animals. And they will offer these animals according to God's prescription, according to God's description. Must be without blemish, must be perfect. And how it is to be done? Who are the ones who were qualified to do them? The priesthood that God himself would ordain. And then when a person does that by faith, knowing that when I offer this sheep, I know that in the future there will be the Lamb of God who will actually die for my sins, take my place. When they did so by faith, looking forward that this is just a lamb who is now representing my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For one day, the Son of God will come and become man and will die for me. By faith. That's how Abraham was saved. Isaac, Jacob, Noah, all of them were saved. Looking forward to what the Messiah would do. Focus on Christ. Old Testament, prophets, all on Christ. New Testament, we look back to what Christ has already done. Sure, the content will be different. With more and more revelation given to us through the passage of time, the content of the gospel for us, when we look back at the finished work of Christ, we have more facts, more information, more precise knowledge. Born in the city called Bethlehem. Virgin called Mary, not any other name. We all know more and more data. It's not how much more of the data, it's faith. They have less than us in terms of information, but it is still the same gospel, the same Christ. So that if you were to share with Noah the gospel of today, Noah will be so happy to readily accept and believe every single point. Even though in his time, he had only very basic knowledge that through the offering of these clean animals, you know Jesus Christ will one day come and die for your sin. That's all. Where in Bethlehem he was born, do not know. In Jerusalem, outside where he will be crucified, do not know. Don't need to know. What he had was enough, if he believed by faith, to be saved. Same household. No difference. Old Testament believers, New Testament believers, part of the same household, because we all have the same foundation. The same foundation. The Word of God. Jesus Christ being our chief cornerstone. Every Old Testament saint, whether they are saved or not saved, reference point, Jesus Christ. New Testament saints, saved or not saved, reference point, Jesus Christ. So make sure you know the Jesus Christ of the Bible. You believe in the wrong Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Jesus Christ is not like a magic formula, like open sesame. Anybody can say it, and the cave entrance door will open. Like Alibaba and the 40 thieves. Anybody can say it. Doesn't have to be the
chief of the thieves. Ali Baba, who was not a thief, he said it, and the door opened and he went in and took the gold and the silver and the loot of the thieves.
Jesus Christ today is so badly maligned. It's not a magic formula. It has to be the Jesus Christ of the Bible, because we all understand that a name conjures up a lot of meaning. Judas Iscariot, what comes to your mind when the name is mentioned? Jonah, what comes to mind when the name is mentioned? Delilah, what comes to mind when the name is mentioned? Jezebel, all of them comes to mind certain facts, image, right? Jonah, oh, he brings bad luck, right? That's how people use the term. Judas Iscariot, oh, traitor. Jezebel, oh, he is a controller of husbands and she is evil. Dangerous. Delilah, seducer of men. See, all these conjure up meaning. So when you think of Jesus Christ, if it is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible, there is no salvation. You are still a stranger and a foreigner. Because the foundation of this household is Jesus Christ, according to the teachings of the prophets and the apostles, no contradiction, no other. And therefore, when you hear the word of God being preached and taught to you, Old Testament, New Testament, you will be able to hear the voice of your Savior. Because on the day when you were born again, you were given a very bare essential, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. So much more of the Bible have not been taught to you, have not been told to you. And even if you were told all the rest of the Bible, you will not be able to grasp it until you are born again. And so what you are usually told would be the bare essentials. The elements of the gospel of Jesus Christ must be biblical. You are born a sinner. You have sinned against God Almighty, and there is nothing you can do to get yourself out of sin. And if you die in your sin, you end up in hell. That is the just punishment for all sinners who die in sin against God Almighty. And all of us have sinned against God. And the only way that you could be saved is to accept God's love for you in Christ Jesus. Even though there is nothing lovely in you, but God loved you anyway and sent Jesus Christ to become a man just like you in flesh and blood, but without sin. He lived, He suffered, and He died in your place. For all the sins you have committed against God, Jesus Christ suffered for you. And then you are supposed to die before God because of your sin. Jesus died in your place. And God accepted what He has done as enough to take away all your sins and the punishment of your sins that you deserve, because God raised Him from the dead for your justification. All you need to do is to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for a sinner such as you. Undeserving. If you truly, sincerely believe in this Jesus of the Bible according to scriptures, God promised you, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will not be ashamed. You will not be disappointed. You will be saved to the uttermost. Now, this is the Jesus Christ you truly believed in. And then when you hear more of God's truth, the teachings of the prophets, the rest of the Old Testament, the teachings of the apostles, the rest of the New Testament, you will always say, Amen. And you'll be able to hear, this is correct, this is correct, this is the voice of my Savior, this is correct. And that's why people who come to churches like Truth BP Church, where the Word of God is preached, and they find something offensive, they find that, I don't like it. I don't like the teaching, I don't like it, every time they scold me. It's not scolding, it's called sanctifying. Cleaning your mind of all the ideas and philosophies of the corruption of the world. And you find it offensive. You find the word of God offensive, you are in trouble, because Jesus says, my sheep hears my voice, they will never turn from my voice, and they will follow me. They will take what I teach them according to the scriptures, and they are going to live their lives accordingly. My sheep hear my voice, and they will follow me continually all the days of their lives. But you find it offensive that you don't understand and you don't like it and you want to walk out, that person is in trouble. But if you go to all these charismatic churches and you find that very, very delightful, very, very enjoyable, then you are in trouble, because they are preaching rubbish. You should find it offensive. because it will vex your spirit the way they worship, the way they teach the scriptures. You will be so angry, the spirit of God inside you will make you so vexed. Just like Lot was vexed in his heart when he lived in Sodom, surrounded by fornicators and homosexuals. He was vexed in his spirit, but the problem with him was he did not have the courage to get out. You will get out. You cannot stay if you are truly born again in a charismatic church and in a Roman Catholic church. You just can't. And in a new evangelical church as well. More subtle, more dangerous. Because they believe the Bible has mistakes, for example. How would you like it if you sit there and time again they say that the Bible has mistakes, they keep correcting the Bible in every message. Oh, in this verse, that word should not be there. Oh, this word should be there, but it's not found here. Let me add in for you. How would you feel? You will feel so offended, you will not stay. Because the foundation of the household of faith which you belong to is the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures. And whenever the word of God is tainted, damaged, attacked, those who are part of the household of God Almighty, they will know, they will recognize, because they are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and saints, part of God's nation and family. And they would know. Now, is Christ your foundation? It will be evident by the way that you appreciate and understand God's truth, and you will love it, because it will continue to sanctify you and make you more and more like Christ in your thinking, in your speech, and in your living. And you will delight in it. You can't help it because it's not your own doing. It's the Spirit of God who dwells in you that helps you understand and appreciate. And now you realize that you're part of the household of faith, household of God, I mean. And Jesus Christ is the foundation. The Jesus according to scriptures. Your foundation, that person's foundation, same foundation. Resulting in verse 21 and verse 22. Only one household. Not two. Not household with many different compartments. One compartment for the Jews only. Another compartment for the Chinese. Another compartment for the Japanese. Another compartment for Koreans. Another compartment for Africans. Only one. Not many. One household, period. In whom all the building, every part of the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, whereby together, regardless of our language, regardless of our race, it matters not. Because once you are born again in Christ, everything else will slowly disappear. And the common household of God, the foundation of Jesus Christ, will take precedence, and little by little, you are not going to allow the prejudices that have continued to weigh you down, continue to taint your thinking and your speech. All these will evaporate. And then you're going to see the person as a brother, as a sister in Christ, regardless of the skin color, regardless of the education level, all these things will no longer matter. You just love them. Just as Christ loved you, without distinction. That's what it means. You will become a holy temple. It will evolve, and there will be holiness as the central unifying factor in all your relationships. Holiness means getting rid of sin. That's what holiness means. I desire you to be holy. You desire me to be holy. So therefore, we learn to encourage one another and help one another. And so if I have done wrong, you will graciously tell me. You will not try to cover up and tell me that it's okay, you are fine. You know I'm not fine. You know I'm struggling with a sin. You won't want to cover it up for me because you want me to be holy, just as I want to be like a Pharisee, trying to find fault with others. We're not talking about trying to look for each other's faults. And then try to help the person out of his fault. We are not saying that. We all have our faults. We all have our struggle. We are talking about patient, loving, gracious, tactful, helping one another out of sin and transgression. That's what it means. So that we will become, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. We may all come together, still have a lot of rough edges. But slowly, through our association, our patient love and care for one another, you become more and more holy like Christ. Beginning, you will be tough. Do you remember the first time when you entered the church? Never set foot in a church before in your whole life. And then you suddenly come in and everything is strange. I remember the first time I entered the church. I will never forget that experience. Because it was my first time to enter into a church. It was a house church. How many people were there? Maybe 20 plus. Small church. It's just a semi-D in Ming Teck Park. Off 6th Avenue. Bible church. That was a church that the Lord brought me into. And it was in that church I came to know Christ. Because my classmate who was studying architecture together with me, he was from that church. And so when I asked him to help me, bring me to a church, so he brought me to his church. And the first sermon, the first day when I entered the church on a Sunday, never set foot in a church before in my whole life. First time. Everything was strange. Literally strange. I was really felt so strange. Like a stranger. He says, stand, I stand. Sing, sing. Don't know how to sing. Never heard of this kind of song before because I didn't know they are called hymns. No pagination, the hymns. Only numbers. You realize that, right? There's no page number. Only hymn numbers. Never seen that kind of book before in my life as well. And I started to sing. I don't know how to sing. Never sung all these songs before in my life. First time. And then all the whole order of service, the procedure. Never did it before. He just helped me. Stand, I stand, sit, I sit, pray. I just close my eyes. And at the end of the service, he sat down with me and he shared with me the gospel. And asked me whether I want to accept Christ as Lord and as Savior. And right there and then, I was convicted and I accepted Christ. And my life was changed forever. I went to the bus stop after he told me what to do. From now onwards, you must always pray before you eat. You must always aim your prayer in Jesus' name. He did not tell me why I have to do all these things. He just told me and I quite accept. Okay. So I went back home. Every time before I eat, I pray. I pray in Jesus' name and what it means, so that I learn slowly. Through the passage of time, I study more and more about the doctrine of prayer, and then I learn. Now I understand why. At that point in time, he just told me, I just did it. And so when more and more of the doctrines were taught to me, I drank it in and I ate them up. The milk and the meat of the Word of God. One thing I realized was, from that point onwards, you don't have to tell me to go to church. I can't wait for church to come. I make sure that I was in church on time. And so when the government closed all house churches, and so we have to move out, and we managed to use Ebenezer Chapel in Mindef, the old Mindef opposite Botanic Garden. And so they asked for a volunteer who would like to take charge of the keys to be the first one to come and open the church premises for everyone. So I volunteered. Nobody wants to volunteer. First one to be there, last one to leave. And one thing I also remember is I love God's Word. I can't wait to hear God's Word. I was looking for evening services to hear more of God's Word. Morning was not enough. I study God's Word. I study the Bible. I read the Bible every time I come home after my work, after my studies, and then after work, later on, after when I went to work. I came to know Christ second year in university. 5-year course, 4.5 years. And then when I found SGH, I was so happy. I make sure that I was here every Sunday evening, 6 p.m., to listen to God's Word. That was my first exposure to the BP system of worship and truth. Never before. Attended all kinds of churches because nobody taught me. Because my church didn't have any pastor. My previous church didn't have any pastor to guide us. But the foundation was Jesus Christ. The Word of God was the milk and meat. Can't wait to hear God's Word. To listen, to understand, and to obey. Same foundation, and only one's household. Working toward a holy people. Beginning, strangers. But now, more and more time spent with you, you should become a better family. More holy toward one another. Beginning, difficult. With the passage of time, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. That's how you must hope Truth BP Church to become. A holy temple means a place where holy people worships, serves, dwell in. Is this your heart's desire for Truth BP Church? Let it begin with you. When you are holy, help another person to be holy. And then another person, help another person. Before you know it, it will slowly become a church of holy people. Because that's what the household of God is. Once we were outside, by God's grace, we are now inside. Because the foundation of the household is none other than Jesus Christ. And understand there is only one household, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. What does he mean? In whom ye also. The early church was founded by mainly Jews. You know that, right? Because of Christ's prescription. Jerusalem, Judea. And for the few years when the church was first formed in the early days, right up to Acts chapter 8, when persecution came, then the Samaritans were given the gospel. And then in Acts chapter 10, the first Gentiles, Cornelius and his family, were given the gospel. And that's when Samaritans and Gentiles beginning to join. And God had to erase all their differences and prejudices and hatred against each other by using the gift of tongues. And then with a lot of preaching and teaching and education from God's word to unite three very different groups of people, the Jews, the Samaritans and the Gentiles, who could not stand each other outside of the church. But when they came together as a church, they began to love one another, accept one another. There is no one household for Jews, another household for Gentiles. That's why the word also is used. Because the early church, thousands of them were converted. If you study the first five chapters of Acts, they were all Jews. Until chapter 10, then Gentiles were brought in. Until chapter 8, then Samaritans were brought in. And that is why the Apostle Paul was very nervous and fearful that in these early churches, the Jews will be one side and they say that, well, we came in first. And then now you Gentiles join us. And now God says, there's only one household, not two households, only one, in whom ye also are builded together for the same habitation of God through the Spirit. No different from the Jews. The Gentiles, you are part of the Jews. Jews can't stand Gentiles, Gentiles can't stand Jews, right? This is the way of the world out there. They hate each other. But inside the household of God, God says, you love one another. There's only one. Builded together, same material, perfectly fitted together. No kinks, not a single piece is out of place. It's a perfectly designed building because the builder is God. You and I are the building material of this household of God. People who are Christians. Jews, Gentiles, no difference. Get rid of your prejudice, your racism, whatever it is. Get rid of it. Because we are all part of the household today. For the habitation of God, where God will be so pleased to dwell with, in Truth BP Church, through the Holy Spirit. And people come, God is pleased to dwell in the midst of Truth BP Church, because you may all came together 14 years ago as strangers, and more people came and joined, and now with the passage of time, it has now turned into a temple of holiness. And God says, I'm pleased to dwell in your midst. And the Spirit of God will move the hearts of the people who come and visit. Do you not want this for Truth BP Church? Because this is how God described us today. Not in heaven. In heaven, it's obvious. Everyone will be glorified bodies and everyone will belong to the household of God. You can see that. But God says, I want you to know it now. I want you to know it now and live it now as the household of God, so that the people out there in the world, when they come and visit you, they will find in this church, Truth BP Church, a world like no other, a place like no other in the world out there, a place of holiness where the people who come together, they love one another like a family. They learn to forgive one another, they help one another, they support one another because of Jesus Christ. And God says, I'm pleased to be in your midst. And through the Spirit of God, people who come, they will feel it. they will sense it, and they will know it, and they will experience it. Do you want that? Then learn to forgive one another. Learn to help one another, care for one another. Don't look at each other as strangers and foreigners, but look at each other as children of the same household of God today. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee, O God, for Thy patience and Thy long-suffering in dealing with us, for we know that the world and its influence and impact in our lives are still so strong and so great. So much so that this truth that we are all part of the household of God today, right now, because of Jesus Christ in our lives, is lost and we are forgotten. And we have so far, more often than not, related to one another as strangers and foreigners, which we are no longer, but part of the same fellow citizens and saints of the household of God. I pray, O Lord, that Truth BP Church may truly be the household of God today on earth, that people who come and visit may experience and feel and sense the holiness and the brotherly love and the sisterly love that they have for one another in Christ Jesus, that they will learn to forgive and share and care for one another truly as a family of God, because they are all part of the same and only household with Jesus Christ as the one and only foundation. Help us, O Lord, to turn this into a reality in Truth BP Church, and may every member of Truth BP Church do their part to ensure that in their own lives they are truly sons and daughters of the Most High God, and no longer treat one another as strangers and foreigners, but as a brother and a sister in Christ, because we all belong to the same household of God right now. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.